Hey, man, I love that. I've not heard that song before.
If Wifey was paying attention, we will hear it again. So I like that a lot. That was good. It's a blessing to be here tonight, and we thank the Lord for this church and the journey this church has made from out over off 820 and then over to toward the school building, then back over here, and it's good to see a lot of familiar faces as we come around, and it's just a blessing to always see new faces as well, so it's a good thing. I'm not exactly sure why Brother Crawford had me come preach when he wasn't here. Maybe he just didn't want to be held responsible for anything that happened, so we'll, and I know you've got your hearts and minds set on a bake auction, and so we'll move along and get right there. It's good to see a good group of people and good yard going to camp, and that's always an exciting thing. Had I known, I would have saved time and answered the sound man's questionnaire before I got here. That's a lot of information. We don't have that at our church. He's like, do you walk around a lot? About what level do you wear this? You know, do you need this? Do you need that? Do you like to hear yourself? I was like, I'm with the rest of the church. I don't like to hear me. So we'll leave it right there. So appreciate Brother Crawford and his ministry. He's always been a friend, and Brother Michael and I have been really good friends, and our families and enjoy each other, and we've laughed a lot. Hey, sometimes you laugh during the really good times. Sometimes you need somebody to laugh during some really bad times. And so I hate bad times, so at least you need somebody to be there that can sympathize and empathize and make fun of the same people with you, you know? So we enjoy that. I didn't think it'd been that long. I guess I just got called to preach late in life. I was got called to preach 16 years ago. I was at youth camp. So you never know what's going to happen at youth camp. We went down there, and I was praying, praying that God would work in the hearts of somebody, and specifically pray that God would call somebody to preach. And I was standing outside the tabernacle area and looking over our people. I was like, Lord, please just call somebody to preach tonight, maybe somebody out of our own church. That'd be wonderful. And a very distinct call. Now, I've learned since then to pray more specifically. But God very clearly called me to preach, and so I've been excited. It's been a weird journey, but everything's weird. We stopped a few minutes ago on the way up here, and it was weird. Some bird came down and attacked me. At first, I was giving him some slack because it looks like a runway up there, and so he came down and popped me in the head. And so I went in the store. I said, that bird just popped me in the head. She said, you're the third person. I said, I bet I'm waiting on him when I go back out. So I went out, and apparently somebody told the bird he didn't come back down. But as I got in the vehicle, he did. He attacked another lady. So, man, there's a mean bird over there. Western Center Boulevard, y'all look out. Wear a hat. Be ready to throw a punch. I'm not afraid to punch a bird right in the mouth. The Bible says as a pastor, I'm not supposed to be a striker. I don't think birds are included in that. So I would have punched him. You know I would. And that would have been good. So anyway, I'm not allowed to punch people anymore. That's why I carry a gun. I just want to be right with God, man. Listen, God knew. I believe that through inspiration that God would have known if I wasn't supposed to. So I'm going after church. I'm going to hunt a bird. Take your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I don't know about you, but sometimes as I read through Scripture, certain things just jump off the page. Even if I've read it 100 times, I could have preached from it 20 times. And sometimes you go through and something just jumps off the page. And a while back, I was reading this portion of Scripture, and a couple of things jumped off the page at me, and it just kind of helped me. And so I like help. I like getting help. I like being a help if I can. And this portion of Scripture helped me a whole bunch, and a lot of things jumped off. Now, when you go to Bible college or seminary, whatever they call it, and when you go there, they will tell you how to study the Bible, and they call it hermeneutics. That's a fancy word. I thought it was a disease, but they teach you how to study things, and this isn't in there. My method is not in there. But one of the things that I do is I read a Bible story. If it's got a lot of people in it, I just read it over and over again. And each time I read it, I pretend I'm in it as a different person. So in the story here that we're going to read, I got to be Jesus one time. I got to be a fellow named Jairus one time.
I got to be a woman with an issue of blood one time. I got to be a 12-year-old little girl one time. I got to be a mama one time. And I read it from the perspective of being that person. And that may not do anything for you except confuse you, but it helps me. Because I try to look at the story from a different place, where I'm not outside of the story. I'm in the story. The story's about me. I'm there. And either I'm a main character or I'm a sideline character, but I like being in the stories. And so as I read through it, and you read something, if it's important enough for God to put somebody in there, I just figure it's important enough to really try to see things from their point of view. I mean, what was it like to be in a boat and see Jesus walk on the water? What was it like to be Peter and walk on the water? What was it like to be one of Peter's buddies that was scared to get out, but watching Peter walk on the water? And to see everything that transpires, I mean, that's how I look at them. So when I got to this story, I did that. And man, I got excited. I got mad. It was an emotional journey just reading through Mark chapter number 5. It would help me if you would stand. We'll read just a couple of verses. It may not do you any good, but it does me good. In verse number 21, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, for sake of time, go to verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithi kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Father in heaven, we love you, and we thank you for your word, and we're excited about answered prayer. So thank you for answering the prayer of Jairus here. And Lord, thank you for showing us that you are a God who can answer prayer and will answer prayer. So thank you, Lord. And we come to you tonight, just ask for you to speak to our heart. There may be somebody tonight with a great need. There may be someone who's in trouble with sin. And maybe somebody who's hurting. Maybe somebody's gotten some bad news from a doctor. And tonight we need you. We need you to answer our prayers. So Father, tonight I pray that through your scripture, you might encourage somebody tonight just to trust in you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I like skipping from verse 24 to verse 41 for sake of time. When Jesus comes and begins to talk to the people there. Immediately, Jairus comes. He's one of the rulers of the synagogue. This is Jewish. This is not New Testament church, but he would essentially be one of the preachers in the church. He's one of the church leaders, one of the men there. So he's a man of God. He's one of God's men. He's one of the guys that people go to for help. He would have been one of the people there that would have led in worship services. He's one of God's people, and he's one of the leaders there, obviously, according to the scriptures. And he has a need. And we know, because we skip down to verse 41, that God answers the prayer. We know that he goes and he asks for Jesus to come. Jesus goes with him. So we know as we go through the sermon tonight that there's a happy ending. But see, wouldn't it be nice in our life if you just had a prayer request and you could say, well, Lord, for sake of time, let's just skip down to the answer. You know, because we're busy. Lord, take all the time you want as long as it's right now, because I'm busy. We don't have that luxury. And by the way, neither did Jairus. He didn't have the luxury of just saying, Lord, I asked, Jesus is right here, I've got Jesus by the hand, and let's go immediately to the answer, which is exactly what I like. I don't like wasting time. I'm very impatient. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience. I'll just skip it. I'll just go through life being impatient. I don't want to be patient if it means a lot of tribulation. I'm sorry, that's just not my thing. Tribulation doesn't excite me a whole lot, unless that's the name of a new gun. And so, that'd be a cool name for a gun, wouldn't it? Tribulation. What'd you buy? I just bought the new Tribulation. Smith & Wesson Tribulation.
I'm for that. Write that down. Anyway. But he doesn't have that luxury. We don't have that luxury. So tonight I want you to look, we're going to look at some things that could happen that might have messed up getting to verse 41. That could have messed up, and I believe attempted to mess up, Jairus getting to verse 41 and getting the answer to his prayer. As we talk tonight, I want you to be mindful that his daughter is at the point of death. And as we went through tonight, you're going to join me in my Warped Bible study, and we're going to be Jairus tonight. We're going to be a leader in the church, in the synagogue. We're going to be a leader in the synagogue, in the place of worship. And we're going to have a sick 12-year-old little girl. And I don't mean she's got a cold. I don't mean she's in a cast. I mean she's dying. She's at the point of death. So Jairus travels. He hears that this Jesus is coming. Even though the rulers of the synagogue aren't usually excited about Jesus coming, this one's excited about Jesus coming. He knows that his daughter is at the point of death. He charges through the crowd. He gets to Jesus. And in verse 24 it says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." So being thronged, being having these people here, I'm just imagining if this was one of my children. And I don't have a little girl. I have four boys. We adopted four boys 7 years ago this week. We began that process. We thought we were adopting two older boys. And they told us they had a problem. They called us on May the 7th. And said, "We got a problem." We said, "We don't like problems." And they said, "Birth mama had a baby. Would you consider taking a baby?" We said, "Yes, we would consider taking a baby." So my wife is thinking, and we were 6 weeks out from getting the boys. And they said, so my wife's like, "So in 6 weeks when we get the boys, wow, we're going to get a baby. Only 6 weeks to prepare for a baby coming to our home. 6 weeks is not enough time." And they said, "No, ma'am, you misunderstood. The baby goes today. CPS is on their way right now to get the baby out of the hospital, and the baby will be on the way to your house." We had 3 hours. I went home, started rearranging furniture. My wife went to Walmart and had a baby shower for herself. She was very generous. And I came home, I was like, "What is that?" She goes, "I don't know, it was on the baby aisle, I bought two." I was like, "Okay." And in 3 hours, on a Wednesday night, we were delivered a baby. We went to church. They left, they came, we signed a stack of papers. It was like buying three houses. We signed all these papers, and as they drove away, my wife was holding the baby, and she said, "What are we going to do? We got a baby." I said, "You better get dressed. We have church. We got to leave in 20 minutes. And so we just took the baby to church. He was 2 days old, man. He's never missed. That's life of the preacher. We came in, and people were like, "Whose baby?" We're like, "Ours." People are like, "Well, I thought we were closer than that. You didn't tell us." I was like, "You'd have had to be on our street to find out. Or at Walmart." There's people at Walmart know. I wonder why my wife's crying buying all these gifts. And so it's been strange. So we don't have a little girl, but I understand what it would be to have a sick child. I understand the devastation. I understand the problems and that come with thinking about a sick baby. Pick up in verse 25. We haven't read it. It says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" I'm Jairus. We're Jairus. You're Jairus tonight. You've just gone to Jesus. You got him fresh off the boat. You made it to him before he got lost in the crowd. And you said, "Sir, my baby girl, she's 12 years old, and she lies at the point of death. I need you to come with me." Jesus is like, "Okay, let's go."
So I imagine Jairus kind of in front of him, like, get out of the way. The people are thronging. Look, man, I need you to move. Sick baby. My daughter's sick. You've got to get out of the way. I've got a 12-year-old daughter here. And Jesus coming along. And then, so he's covering the front side. He's got the 12, but this lady sneaks up on their six. And she sneaks up behind Jesus and touches his garment, and Jesus just stops. I can just see Jairus moving along, and he hears something from behind and looks back, and Jesus has stopped. He's like, what in the world? And he comes back over, and Jesus has stopped. Can I tell you, along your life's journey, and along between the time you pray and the time you get your answered prayer, there might be some distractions. There might be some distractions along the way. And it may be that somebody else gets their prayer answered right in the midst of you trying to make your... You're sure you're with Jesus. You've got Him. And you're sure that you're walking with Jesus. And you're sure you're right on the way. And you know everything's going to be okay. And then all of a sudden there's a distraction. Don't get blown out of the water by the distraction. Listen, if I'm Jairus, I'm like wanting to grab Jesus. I'm going to touch more than his garment. I'm wanting to touch his shoulders and turn him around, and let's get back to it again. Not because I'm being disrespectful, not because I'm irreverent, but because my daughter is still dying. And I appreciate that somebody came along. I appreciate there's a crowd of people here. But I'll be honest, today, because I'm Jairus, because my little girl is sick and dying, I don't give a rip about everybody else's problems today, okay? Everybody has their day. Today's my day. And selfishly, I need Jesus at my house right now taking care of my preteen daughter because she lies at the point of death and I don't have time. Listen, I know people are like, hey, brother so-and-so, hey, brother. I don't care about that. My daughter is sick. I'll greet you later. Hey, I'll see you Saturday when we come to worship. I'll see you on this day when we come to worship. Hey, I'll make visits later. Right now, my daughter's sick. I don't care. Whatever you've got going on is not more important. My daughter's sick. Hey, distractions will come along. And if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged by a distraction and you'll end up out. And your verse 41 will never show up because you just gave up at verse 25. Friend, we've got to watch out. And Jesus, in verse 30, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitudes thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him, look at it, all the truth. I know that lady. I know her. There are some people in the ministry that you're careful about asking how they are, because they'll tell you all the truth. All the truth. And we already read over here. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. This lady has a story to tell. Jesus said, who touched me? She's fearing and trembling, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, master. See, what happened was 12 years ago, I got sick, and I have this issue of blood, so I can't go worship. Hey, Jairus, thanks for coming by to visit and stuff. I can't go there where they're at. Unclean. I have an issue of blood. I don't get to go worship no more. And it's real bad. And I went to this one doctor, and I went there because he was in plan. And I went there, and then he referred me over to this specialist. And even my copays were wearing me out. And all the mercy, child, can you believe how much prescriptions cost? It says all the truth. Many physicians spent all that she had, and she grew worse. And then I was feeling a little bit better. And then I started having side effects of this medicine over here. And then I was taking that. And I started having this side effect. And then my side effects started having side effects. And my side effects started looking like one of those spirograph pictures the kids used to draw. And it was just been... And she's given him 12 years. This lady can't be around other people under the law. She has an issue of blood. She's lonely. She just got healed. She's... Now, she feels perfect. And I'm excited for her any other day. But she's been sick for 12 years. We're Jairus tonight, right? Where's our baby? Our baby's sick at home, dying. I just want to be like, hey, sister, we really appreciate it and everything. Hey, praise the Lord and everything. Hey, you know what? I'll tell the church secretary. Because see, this lady, she's been on the prayer list for so long, they don't write it in anymore. They print it with her name already on it. It's been 12 years. Every time they print the prayer list at the synagogue, her name is on it for 12. She's bumped. Everybody else done died. She's at the top now. They either got cured or dead. One way or the other, they got off. They bumped off the list. It went from Sister So-and-so to Sister So-and-so's family. And she's like, number five, number four. And she's at the top now. She's number one. When they print it out, it automatically has her name on it. And so he's like, hey, that's real great. Jesus, 12-year-old. And I'm getting a little upset because, hey, we already had, it was enough to have a distraction. Now we've got a delay. When your baby's laying on her deathbed, that's not the best time in the world to have a delay. That's not the best time to get held up by something. That's not the best time to just stop and take a break and have story time. Now, I'm not being unkind. She got healed, and praise the Lord. That in and of itself is a great miracle. And in fact, we learn more and hear more about the woman with the issue of blood than we ever do about Jairus' daughter. But there's a 12-year-old little girl. This woman's probably much older. She's lived her life. Now she's healed. Great. She's going to live forever. She can go see her grandkids. She can sit on the same pew with them when they go worship. My little girl's about to die. Don't delay me. We're going to have a problem. Jairus could have just walked off. Jesus doesn't even really care, does he? Why would he have stopped in the first place? And now, all the truth? Hey, sister, really? All the truth? He's one of the rulers of the synagogue. He's heard all the truth. He hears the truth every Tuesday afternoon when he goes and makes that visit. He's heard it over and over again. He knows that it's going to be an hour and a half visit. Listen, Satan's looking to discourage you before you get your prayer answered. If the distractions don't get you, wait a little while. Pray that same prayer about 150 times and see if you don't get beat down. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And behold of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Maybe. Maybe if they had just ran a little faster. Maybe if the boat... Maybe if he could have caught him and just, if they had just gotten there faster. Maybe if she hadn't stopped him. Maybe if she had just said, hey, I'm going to follow you because you've got to hear my story. You've got to hear my testimony. But they've been standing there and they're in the midst of hearing this long, drawn out, all the truth story. She's dead. See, we know, we already read verse 41 and beyond. So we know this isn't the end, but Jairus, we're being Jairus and we don't know that. All we know is Jesus was easily distracted, now there's delays, and now we've got a major disappointment. You ever been praying for one thing and something happens and it just gets worse? It just went from bad to worse. That's where we are tonight. Jesus is still talking to the woman. Somebody comes up and says, Jairus, no need to bother the master anymore. Why troublest thou the master anymore? It would have been real easy for him to say, you're right. And just turn and walk away. And if he does,
They end at verse 35 with a dead little girl. And he goes home and starts digging a hole. I don't know about you, I've had to do some funerals where the coffins weren't full length. It's hard to bury a child. Hearts break, usually families break up. They can't handle the death of a child. It's a miracle if a couple can stay together after the death of a child. Nothing more devastating. You could give me a whole lot of news, bad news, and I'd take it like a champ. Just don't take one of my children. Don't take one of my children. Amen. She's dead. And he needs something right now. He needs something right now that's going to help him not get messed up. He needs something right now that's going to help him not stick with Jesus. And thank the Lord, there's verse 36. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I'm a preacher. Can I confess sometimes it's hard to believe? We've seen things in our life that are hard to believe. We've seen some miracles. And I still look and shrug and go, I was there and I don't know what happened. You know what God wants us to do tonight, friends? Believe. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He wants us to believe that He is and that He loves us. He wants us to believe that He is and that He can sustain us. He wants us to believe that He is and that He can answer prayer. He wants us to believe that He is and that He can do miracles. He wants us to know that, hey, even if she stays dead, He still loves us. And it's hard to explain when you get the disappointing news. It's hard to explain when you're going through a terrible tragedy. But God loves us and we have to know that. And I love verse 36. He just says, be not afraid, only believe. Now listen, when you're going through this kind of a problem, you need things simplified. When you're at a hospital and big decisions are being made, and you've got people coming this way and that way, and then the people are coming in, they got the little computer and they're wanting to, you know, get your billing information, and stuff's happening fast, and doctors are coming in saying, listen, you need to call your family. Do you have any directives? Do you have this and that? And you're trying to make decisions on the fly. You really need things simplified down. Jesus turns to Jairus and just says, only believe. See, before there were big decisions. Do we call for another physician? Do we take her to the synagogue and pray there? Do I bother with this Jesus? Do I run down there? Do we do this? Do we do that? Do I leave my family? Do I dare leave the side of my daughter that's lying at the point of death? Do I send someone else? There's decisions to be made. Jesus said, right now there's no other decisions to be made. Be not afraid, only believe. Again, being Jairus, we don't know about the future. Keep us all from crying. I went ahead and read ahead. Wouldn't it be nice if you could say, time out. I can't handle this. For sake of time, Lord, I need my verse 41 to kick off. I need to see verse 41 through 43 real quick. I can't deal with this. Friend, you can deal with it. Can I encourage you when you're going through your verse 35? Be not afraid. Only believe. Amen. Be not afraid, only believe. Jesus said that. We can trust Jesus. And you say, what if it doesn't turn out? We can still trust Jesus. Amen. Listen, we have to trust Jesus on the worst day, just like we trust Him on the best day. Amen. Verse 37. And He suffered no man to follow Him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, why makest ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. You still going to keep believing in that Jesus, huh? I can almost hear the relatives and the neighbors talking. Where were you? I went to go get Jesus. Look, I brought Jesus. You bow, how nice, you brought Jesus. Your little girl was crying out for you, Jairus. What kind of a daddy lets his little girl die crying out for her daddy? What kind of a father are you? Your wife's in there laying in a heap. What kind of a husband isn't there? She was holding her hand when she died. Where were you? Oh, you're going to get Jesus. You're going to get Jesus. They laughed at them. They laughed him to scorn. You'd already had the distraction. You'd already had the delays. You'd already had the disappointment. The devil's got one more in his playbook. Doubters. The doubters are coming for you. Right in your weakest moment, the doubters are going to be to say, I told you that prayer wouldn't work. That's why you needed to do what I told you. You needed to do this and that. God. How could God let bad things happen to good people? I thought you went to church. I hate the stinking devil. Doubters. People that you love, people that share your last name, people that share your workspace, sometimes people that share your home, people that take up space at your family reunions, people that live on your street. Some of them don't believe like you do. And let me tell you something, they would never say it out loud, but some of them rejoice in the opportunity to laugh at your God when your prayer doesn't get answered. He's got a dead daughter, a destroyed wife, a bunch of idiots around, making fun. But he also has one promise from Jesus. Be not afraid, only believe. And it was a long journey. It's a hard journey. And we can't even get out of verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, bless God, where they belonged. That's in the Hebrew. You've got to study that out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talithi kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Praise God for answered prayer. But what a long, hard journey to get there. What a horrible experience to get from, this is the biggest problem we've ever faced, and we're about to step outside. Listen, he's the ruler of the synagogue. These are not Jesus lovers. These are people that were of the ilk that would end up having Jesus hung on a cross, that would call for his death. I bet it wasn't at this synagogue, though. You have the people outside still, running their mouths. They go inside. Jesus calls to the little girl. She gets up. And now that's when people are like, well, that's probably not for real and everything. That's probably a ghost. He said, get her something to eat. Ghosts don't eat. You know, there's a lot of people, they don't really believe in prayer. Several years ago, my mother-in-law had cancer. Kidney cancer. And immediately, it was lightning fast. Immediately, surgery, right away, within days. They had to take her kidney out. It was, you say, oh, chemo, radiation. Not for this cancer. Said they're going to have to take it out.
So all of a sudden we find ourselves at a hospital. My mother-in-law was in good health. She doesn't smoke. I mean, got married young to a good godly man. And I mean, these are good people, really good people. I married up. Nana has cancer. How's she going to have cancer? We don't want cancer. She doesn't smoke. I mean, if you smoke, you kind of get it. You good chance you're going to get it. You work, you know, you've been working with asbestos all your life, you get the mesothelioma. You don't want it. It's horrible. It's life-changing, but you're kind of expecting it. Now, not when you started working there 40 years ago, but now you realize you've been working with it. You're not really surprised. I mean, you drink all your life, and somebody says you got cirrhosis of the liver. It's bad news, but it's not a super big surprise. When they said my mother-in-law had kidney cancer, we're like, kidney cancer? So they went in, they took out one of her kidneys, and they gave us some real ominous news. They said the cancer had actually gone into the bloodstream. And he said little cancer cells could be anywhere in her body. And we're like, well, that's not what... So we prayed. No cancer cells, no parts of the body. That's what we like. She starts getting better. She starts rehabbing. Things are going along pretty good. And then all of a sudden, she's got some spots on her lungs. Never smoked a day in her life. You know, it was 2 spots, then it was 5 spots, then it was 7 spots. And they're growing. Same kind of cancer. Chemo's not going to get it. Radiation won't touch it. Finally, they started talking about, you know, why don't you go home, and if there's like a vacation you've been wanting to go on, or some family you need to go see, why don't you go ahead and go see those, because there's nothing we can do for you. And so we just kept praying. We're not taking that. So we just began to pray and pray and pray, and I was making prayer announcements at the church, and our sound guy has Asperger's syndrome, which means he's weirder than the rest of the people at our church. And he used to sit kind of back toward the back, and then people would come up and try to shake his hand, and he'd be like, and just run. You know, I mean, it was bad. So we put him in the box. And he's not a great sound guy. He's not a great video guy. But, you know, he does the job, and he's learned, and he's come a long way. But we put him up there so he wouldn't have to be around people. There was like a fortress of solitude for him. And it wouldn't bother him without having to build a cry room just with his name on it. So he goes up and everything's disinfected and everything's clean. He doesn't have to touch anybody. Nobody's going to shake his hand. Nobody's going to look at him hard. And he can kind of just sink down below and watch the video feed. And so he's back there. He comes to me with this stuff. It's coral calcium, a certain brand. And he's handing it to me, and I'm just kind of bewildered. I was like, Brother Joey, I don't know, man. He said, I'm telling you, this certain brand, they get it over here at, you know, it's right here in this certain place, and they harvest it, and he's telling me how they harvest it, and it's this and that, and it'll change the pH of your body, and cancer can't live. And I was like, you know what? It's better than anything the doctor's offered. So I said, get us some. He said, I got some. I said, do you sell it? How much do you? He said, I don't sell it. I just know it works. So we got it, and we started praying, and we prayed over the bottle, and I gave it to my mother-in-law. And we ordered some more in. And so she starts taking it. And you're supposed to take like 3. If you got cancer, it's 3 times the normal dose. And this lady doesn't even like taking aspirin. So she starts taking this stuff. No other treatment whatsoever. We go back and all of the cancers are smaller. I was like, well, praise the Lord. That's good news. And then it was like the Holy Spirit told me something. I said, you know what? Hey, Mom. She said, yeah. I said, are you taking that coral calcium the way you're supposed to? Here's how you know your mother-in-law's lying. She looked away and said, I'm taking it. I said, don't lie to the preacher. Are you taking it like Brother Joey said to take it? She said, no. And I said, you're supposed to be taking 3 capsules 3 times a day. What are you doing? 1 in the morning, 1 at night. I said, hey, genius. Our kids need their Nana. It's working. She goes, I think it's prayer that's working. Joey's over there going, no, it's the coral calcium. And I'm going, hey, I got you both. I prayed over the coral calcium. Take it. I didn't pray over 2 of them. I prayed over the whole stinking bottle. But it's expensive. Hey, It's not as expensive as a funeral, Nana. To have a decent funeral today, it's $12,000 to $15,000. Unless they cremate you. You can get that for about $1,700. If you're fat folk, they got to do two runs. It's about $2,300. Second pass to get the, you know, anyway. She starts taking the... Hey, that's stuff you don't need to know today. You need to know. That's stuff a preacher knows. She started taking it right. She went back. Everything's gone. She got two little pieces. Two little places. Then she had one. And then she had none. And then just last year, her cancer doctor said, you know what? My schedule's pretty full. I try to limit it just to cancer patients. Why don't you leave me alone and don't come back? He never treated her. He never gave chemo. He never did nothing. And hey, and I'll just tell you, we didn't jump from verse 25 to verse 41 right away. There's tears and there's crying and there's worrying and there's, and man, we better take a trip to Colorado. We better do this. We better do that. And you know, there's distractions. There's delays. There's disappointments. Stinking doubters. Stinking doubters make it hard for me to keep my promise that I made a long time to God that I wouldn't hit anybody anymore. I'm not a big fan of doubters. I love people, but I don't like doubters, not even a little bit. If I could preach one message to the entire world, it would be only believe. You know, there's a lot of programs you can get. You can get in a 12-step program. You can go to send a kid to a boy's home. You can do this. You can do that. You can go to the doctor. You can have surgery. But I'm telling you, none of it matters if you don't believe. Amen. Only believe. You say, what am I supposed to do? Let the professionals worry about the other stuff. You just worry about believing. Your job is to trust in the Lord. You say, well, my doctor, he's the best in town. Good. I'm glad the Lord led you to the best doctor in town. The best in the whole planet just happened to be where you live. Hey, I'm for that. But you better believe in God. It's God that's going to change everything. I don't know where you're at tonight. Probably everybody's got something on their prayer list. Hopefully it's not a 12-year-old at home waiting to die. But I'm telling you, God just proved that He could and that He would. And God's not limited. Listen, we always say, well, that's in the Bible. They weren't Bible people when the Bible was written. They were just people. And they had to make choices like you and I have to make choices. They have to make a decision. Are they going to trust in Christ? Or are they going to believe the doubters? Are they going to stay faithful? Are they going to be like all everybody else who gives up? Are you going to jump out at verse 35 and quit? Because things didn't go your way? Or are you going to hang in there for the blessing? See, every one of us tonight has to make a decision. And it's a life and death and eternal decision. Let me encourage you tonight. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know where you're at in your journey. Yeah, you may be at the you may not even have the prayer yet. You might not even have gotten the news yet. You may get a call tomorrow morning with test results. You may get a phone call in the middle of the night from an emergency worker. You may have a police officer come knock on your door and give you some bad news. Whatever happens. And wherever you're at in your situation, let me encourage you with the words of Jesus Christ. Be not afraid, only believe. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, tonight, it could be that there's one here that maybe because of some doubts, because of some hesitation even, they're here tonight and they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've been coming to this church. They know the words to the songs. That people call them brother or sister this and that. But they've never really been saved. Tonight, Lord, I pray that they'd be not afraid. And just believe. Just trust in you as Savior. And then, Lord, getting saved didn't take away our problems. And tonight, there may be somebody with a heavy burden. There may be somebody that's thought about going back to the house. Maybe somebody here who's thought about giving up. Or somebody that just doesn't know what to do. I pray you'd simplify their decisions down to just being not afraid and only believing. I pray tonight as we go into the time of invitation that you would bless
that you'd give courage for folks to respond. Respond like we need to respond. Respond in a way of faith, in a faithful way. In a way that not only tells you, Lord, that we're serious, but also tells others that we're serious. Our response may encourage someone else's response. There may be somebody here with a broken heart tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd help them like they need it. And I pray you'd have your perfect way and will during this brief time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.